and I appreciate it. Well, I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to preach for a little while from 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 11. And you know, last time we looked at the day of the Lord that's coming. The Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all, A-L-L, should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. That's where we're at last time. So we're beginning in verse number 11 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. All of what things? These things, this earth. These things that we're worried so much about. That landscaping that you've never got to. Don't worry about it. We got a place on our deck needs fixed in the back. I'm just waiting. God's going to destroy it all anyways. It doesn't matter. It's going to be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be? I almost don't have to preach this message because just read the text. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? That just means the lifestyle or the way that you're living, in all holy living and godliness. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. I want to read that first verse again, and we'll preach for a little bit. We'll have the young people come back up and sing that song. I believe it's going to be a blessing to our hearts. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy lifestyle or conversation and godliness? It's the question that's asked. And so as we look at that this evening, I want to think about this question to you. Are we living like this all is going to end? And are we living like the Lord truly is coming again? Now, the day of God is going to be more than just the rapture. The rapture is coming next to big agenda on God's timetable. Yes, that's happening. But then the day of God will come and it continues on. The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And God says he'll make a new heaven and a new earth. All that's happening yet in the future. You say, well, what if it doesn't happen? It's going to happen just as sure as the things that he's already said would happen. There were so many prophecies that were fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the first time. And now there's still some prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled on the second coming, but you can be just as sure that they're going to happen like the others did as well. And so I want you to think just a few thoughts this evening and seeing in verse number 11, if you want to take notes, seeing how this will end, y'all live for Jesus. There's an old saying that that says it based like that, seeing how, and somebody comes up and says, or somebody said the other day, the word queso, that's what you want when you go to the Mexican restaurant. Queso, that's the cheese dip, so you can have something more than just that salsa. You want queso. Or that can also be the way a redneck is going to explain something. Queso, here's what we're going to do. And so I'm going to use the second version. Queso, here's what we're going to do since Jesus is coming back. Seeing how this all will end, it begs the question of why I'm spending so much energy and effort getting this place so comfortable when all it's going to do is burn. Amen. The children's home needs to build a building, and they're going to do it for the glory of God, but realizing that one of these days it won't be here. We're, Lord willing, going to one of these days present some things to you that we'll probably build some things out here at our church as well. But as we do it, we'll realize that it won't always be here. We're not building monuments to people so that it will stand for all of eternity, because it won't. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. And so seeing how this is all going to end, we ought to live for Jesus. Kid says to his dad, Dad, Seeing we're going downtown anyways, seeing we're going into town, we might as well stop by the Scoop, right, Becca? And have some ice cream. Seeing how we're already past McDonald's, we might as well stop and get something. Seeing how we're already this far, we might as well get some ice cream. I love to go to town. When I was a kid, we never went very much. And so it was anytime somebody's going, well, do you want to? Yeah, I do. So you haven't even heard what you're going to go through. I don't care. I'll sit through a lot of stuff. I get to go to town because usually that involves stopping at one of those places I just mentioned. Most of us have built sandcastles somewhere at the beach, and you build those sandcastles, and the only reason you build them is just for fun. You say, what do you mean? Because you can't build them to stay. There's no sense in building them to stay. It makes no logical sense for you to say, I'm building this so that it will always be here. Because the tide's going to change, and that's going to come, and it'll all be knocked down. If it's not for that, before, maybe even before that water comes in, some old bully from down the beach, some neighboring kid might come and knock it down anyways. But it's just as senseless as that for us to build the things around here and think that these things are going to provide happiness and these things are going to provide permanence. Enjoy our houses and fix your house and make it like you want to, but remembering as you do everything and we have our stuff and make sure that, as I've said before, that we have our stuff and our stuff doesn't have us. I don't think there's anything wrong with whatever God's blessed you with. If you've got a house that's four times as much expensive as you ever thought it would be, thank God for it and just use it for His glory. If you're driving cars now that are more expensive than the first house that you bought, thank God for it. As you go down the road, say praise the Lord for what He's given you. If your bank account is more flush than you ever thought it would be, just thank Him for it, because He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It isn't promised that that will happen that way necessarily, because there's great Christians all around this globe that couldn't find $5 if they had to, yet they love the Lord. But if God's put it in your bank account, then thank Him for it and build your life, but remembering that, seeing that those things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? We ought to be the type of persons who care more about salvation and eternity and reaching people with the gospel and going to Germany and Liechtenstein and reaching people at a children's home and seeing people saved at the fair booth. And all of these things ought to come top in our list, not these other things that are going to end. Not only that, look in verse number 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Not only are we seeing this is going to end, we ought to live for Jesus, but we're also cheering for His return. You see what the Bible says, we're looking for it, we're hasting unto it. And as we haste unto it, it just means we're urging it, we're wanting it to come. Come on, even so, come Lord Jesus. Like a young person says, I can't wait till Christmas. They can wait till Christmas if God gives them that much time. But what they mean is, I can't hardly contain my excitement because Christmas is coming. I hope how soon it gets here. He's hasting it. He is doing what the Scripture says about the coming day of God. He's hasting unto that. He's saying, boy, can't get here fast enough for me. And my friend, we should live more intently on the coming world than we do for this world, and we ought to be cheering for His return. But not only that, look down in verse number 14. If we're looking at this world that's going to be dissolved, and if we're hasting unto the coming day of God, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, seeing that you're waiting for these, seeing that you're hasting unto Him, seeing that that's what's on the forefront of your mind, since you're waiting for these things, be diligent, be careful, be prudent, be diligent, that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Not only should we be cheering for His return and hasting for it and living for Him, but we ought to also keep clean while we're living. Wherefore, seeing that ye look for Him, and I think that that's what happens whenever we get into sin, we're not looking for Him. You don't get way off in left field or way off in the high weeds and sin and leave your family and betray the trust of the spouse and get involved in wickedness or spend hours late at night on some ungodly site on your internet. You don't do those things if you're feasting your mind and your thoughts and your ideas on the fact that Jesus is coming again. Those two things don't go together. You're not thinking about the Lord's return. You're not thinking about him coming at that moment, or else you wouldn't be doing those things that are not right before him. And the Bible says, because of these things, wherefore, beloved, seeing you're looking for these things, if your eyes are truly on heaven, one church in Chattanooga area said, their slogan was, living with heaven in view. And if I'm truly living with heaven in view, I'll find myself not looking upon what the things that the other world has put up to offer me. We've always had we always had a creek or a stream by our house. And inevitably, mom, dad, somebody would say, well, don't fall in, don't get in. And it's amazing how many times I'm not going to. I promise you, I will not. But your emphatic denial of that you were going to get close enough to fall in didn't keep you from falling in. Now, there were some times that we did fall in, but sometimes it was not an accident. Sometimes you were just not paying, you were paying so much attention to something else. And many, many times I've reached out and just thought I could be a little bit further, a little bit closer to the water than what I ought to have been. And I thought that I could do it, but I forgot where my feet were. My feet weren't positioned in a place to keep me from falling. And in I would go, and my brothers and my sister the same way. And I'm thinking about that little illustration. What happens is when we get too close to things, we're forgetting about what we're supposed to be doing. And as your mom or dad told you, don't get close to the water. It was your fault. You were not thinking about the things that you were supposed to do. And I'm afraid that what happens when we get into sin and when we get into problems and we get into difficulties with our family and get sideways and ugly and cantankerous and backslidden and rebellious and wicked and all the other things, what is happening is we are not looking for the coming of the Lord. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you're looking for these things, are you looking for them? And so, as you're looking for these, the Bible says, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. One of these days will be the last day that you live. You will either, if you're a Christian, you'll either grow up in the rapture when the Lord returns, or you'll go through death. But it'll be the last day. And whatever you left undone will be done. But whatever the last act you was, that'll be the last act you got to do. And I want to be found of him, not ashamed of the way I've been living. I want to be found of him, praising him. I've always heard that preachers, they often say, I like to die in the pulpit. And I used to say, amen, that'd be great. But then I thought, think of all the people that are out there in the audience that would not want him to die in the pulpit. One person's happy, he slumps down right there, and everybody else is scarred for the rest of their life. So I don't want to do that. But one of these days will be the last day of our lives. And what I would challenge us tonight before the young people come back up is this, that we live in verse number 14, that you be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace. That peace comes, of course, from having your sins forgiven. You're saved on your way to heaven without spot and blameless. You are justified. I'll stop there for tonight. But I trust that in verse 11 that you would seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Whatever you're living for, if it's not for the Lord Jesus Christ or your faith, the things that are eternal, it'll be dissolved. So since that's true, what manner of persons ought us ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And we ought to find out whether that describes us or not. Father, bless us is our prayer. Help me to live for you this week, dear Lord. Help each and every one of us remember that you are coming again. Now here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to give an invitation. I don't want to stop anybody from coming, getting right with the Lord. And then after that, we'll have the young people come back up. But tonight, as the instruments play, when they find their place, if God's speaking to your heart tonight, and you're here not sure that you're right with the Lord, you're saved, you know that, but you're not living like those verses described, why not? Wouldn't you get right tonight? Wouldn't you get yourselves right seeing that all these things will be dissolved? What manner of persons ought you to be? Is your whole, is your conversation, your lifestyle, is it holy? Is it in godliness? Are you looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? Or would you be described in some other way? I hope that you'll stand for the Lord. I hope that you'd live for the Lord. And if you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, my friend, you've got nothing but misery in all of eternity to spend in a Christless hell. Oh, my friend, don't leave this place without making sure you're saved. Brother Daniel's going to come and stand right up here. If there's anybody that would like to come pray about whatever's going on in your life, and especially if you're unsaved, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, please don't leave without getting that settled, coming to Christ. And if you're a backslidden somebody, you're not living for God, you're saved, would you make it right tonight? Slip out and come. Somebody's there and you need to let them, have you let them out. They'll be glad to. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's been a great place to be, and I'd love for these young people to sing this song again. I did want to make a mention, I mentioned this morning, but be looking for some emails if you haven't already got them about a new software that we're going to roll out. You're going to love this. It may take a little working around to get it, but it's a great app, and it's a great way to keep connected with different people, and I believe God's going to use it in our church, and so I'm excited about that. Be on the lookout. If you need help getting some things set up, then certainly call in the office, and we'll do all we can to assist you in that. But do be praying for me. We're going to leave tomorrow. Graham and I will, and we're going to Brazil next Sunday. Please don't miss Brother Roger Green. He is a dearest friend that somebody could have. And he's going to be here preaching for us, and you don't want to miss him. And we'll have you'll have a great time. Then I'll be back the following Tuesday. But I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. Young people, you did a phenomenal job. Would you come back up? And Braden, would you get up here? Where you at? Come over and play it for us. Thank you, Braden, for being here this weekend. And we're so thankful for this group of people. And you're looking at some young people that you need to pray for. Pray that God would use them. Pray that God would keep them right with Him and be a blessing to many people through their lives.
Such mire and sinfulness I once resided in. The wage my soul deserved was death, and it was once my end. Due to my wickedness, could I dare beg the Lord for entrance to His court? With only rags on my account, no merit of my own could bring me near His throne. So what hope could there be for the guilty such as me? How could a pauper enter heaven?
Yeah. God looks on me. It's not my sin he sees, nor any righteousness I've done. He only sees his Son, the Holy Risen One. I'm made an heir through Christ to everlasting life, because his record now is mine. All my iniquity is cast into the sea. There's no power or man who can change what I now am. For in this moment at the Father's hand, I advocate pleased in the throne room of grace, with blood that he shed when he died in my place. Unworthy am I, yet God's pardon divine is extended to me. For my advocate pleads.
Now I can worship and pray with faith in his word. I can say,
my advocate pleads in the throne room of grace, with blood that he shed when he died in my place. Unworthy am I, yet God's pardon divine.
Good job, guys. Thank you, too. Good job.
Amen to that. Thank you, young people, for that. What a blessing it's been. And thank you for all the work, Braden. Thank you for working with them and playing for us. And we're certainly thankful for what God has given us tonight. Now, here's how we'd like to dismiss. I want you to get by and see the Brother Daniel Brown and his family. Brother Dan, if you don't mind, to slip out to the lobby, you and your family. And I'd like for you to just get reacquainted with him. And if you don't have a prayer card, you can get one if he's got some. If not, he can direct you to a website and you can get connected in that fashion. And then also, I'd like for Brother Robert Brown, I don't know if it's the best way to have you stand up here or stand up this way, or you want to go back there and leave them, or? Hey. We're glad any way you want to do it. I just love for the folks to get by and meet some of the young people. So we'll just, you want to all go back to the lobby? It's beautiful out there. Yeah, just go. I mean, it's beautiful outside. It's hot as the dickens, but it's all right. You're just going out that way, and you get by, and after they leave us, they're going on to Pigeon Forge, and the Browns, they're traveling. The other Browns are traveling up toward Michigan tonight, and just drive a few hours, and so maybe you want to be a blessing to them as well. And so thank these young people as well. Catch one of them and tell them they did a great job, and thank Braden as well. It's just been a good place to be. So thankful for what the Lord has done in our midst tonight. And I'm just beyond thankful for that. Be praying about the fair, praying for that booth. And if you're working the Buffalo Ridge booth, then there's a meeting down in the Berean classroom. They won't keep you too long. We'll give you all the instructions. Let's all stand together. Thank you for being in church tonight. We'll let the Browns and the Children's Home head on back to the lobby back there, if you don't mind. And you get by and share with them. Yes, sir, Brother Jackson. Oh, if you didn't get your ticket, if you're working the Amazing Grace booth and you didn't get your ticket, see Brother Jackson, the distinguished-looking man right there. Yes, so waving a hand at you. Okay, thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.